brought my iPod Touch on accident. Don't need that. Wow. I was told I'm not allowed to cry, so I'm going to do my best to take that advice and not cry. Pretty sure we'll be able to get through that, hopefully. 3 years that we've been here, and I look back on it, and where did the time go? I was trying to think of something witty to come back to with that song that Miss Moffat so graciously sang. And started to think, I was like, you know, I don't always skip verse 3. I do sometimes skip verse 2. And on rare occasions, I'll skip the last. But I've never skipped verse 1. So at least I got that going for me. and a bit of, well, I guess, recollection. There are some things I need to clear up before I leave. I don't think it'd be right if I left without making some confessions. And one of those is Miss Holly does not burn her cookies. I've teased Holly Scott for the last several years about burning cookies at 2 and 4. And anytime we have cookies and they look like they're a little charred, I always blame Holly. And I can't do that anymore, and so I must set the record straight that Holly has never burnt a batch of cookies. So there's that. The other one was Miss Gina Lemon was Jacob's Sunday school teacher for a little while. And when I first met Miss Gina, it had been probably, 5 or 6 months or so after we joined the church, at least to my recollection. I probably met her several times before that. But I never remembered actually meeting her as Jacob's Sunday school teacher. And we were at a Thanksgiving ministry for the Wounded Warriors there on post. And I saw Miss Gina there, and we kind of got talking about this pumpkin loaf that had been made. And I'm a big fan of sugar. There's no hiding that. And I told her, I said, this pumpkin loaf is delicious. Did you try any of it? And she said, well, yes, I made it. I was like, oh, wow, that's fantastic. I was like, you know, and so I started, you know, carrying a conversation. I ended up inviting her to church. And she came. She came the very next Sunday. She's like, you know, I'm actually your son's Sunday school teacher. And I was like, yeah. So to kind of cover that, every time I saw her after that, I would try to give her a visitor's card and kind of cover up the fact that, you know, I didn't remember who she was. So I figured I just need to go ahead and get those things cleared up. And that way I could leave with a clean conscience. Take your Bible tonight to Joshua chapter 24. Very familiar verse, very familiar. We were sitting here this morning, and I had a different message totally picked out. And I was just going to call out a bunch of people and just get real ugly. And decided that probably wouldn't be the way to go either. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15 is a very familiar passage. As Pastor was preaching this morning about a very important choice you have to make in your life, obviously that choice being whether or not to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we as Christians also have a very important choice to make. This choice that we have to make is not something we need to be dragging our feet on. It's something that I think a lot of times people will sit down and they'll get saved and they will become comfortable being a child of God, but never really want to do anything beyond that. You walk around and you talk to people and you ask them, you know, if they have a testimony of salvation, if they remember a time when they asked Christ to come into their heart, and they're very quick to respond oftentimes, well, yes, I got saved, you know, a long time ago at teen camp, or they'll respond with, well, yes, I have my fire insurance, or they'll respond in any number of ways, but it's hard to find a Christian nowadays that got saved a long time ago who's actively serving the Lord, who made a choice to serve the Lord and has stuck by that choice for the rest of their lives. So I really just want to be an encouragement to all of you tonight that if you have not made a choice to serve the Lord, please do so immediately. Lives are literally at stake. Lives are at stake. So as we read tonight, Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, we'll start here and we'll get into the message. The Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I love you, and I'm thankful so much for this church. Lord, I'm thankful for the testimony this church has. Lord, I'm thankful for the people. Lord, for the graciousness. Lord, for the kindness. Lord, just the love that they show, Lord, to me and my family. And God, I thank you for them. Lord, I pray now you just bless this time we have together tonight. Bless the preaching. Lord, I pray just speak to every heart that's here. Lord, I pray that these would all be your words, or that you remove me from the equation. Lord, that it's Lord, this isn't about me. This isn't about the people here. Lord, this is about serving you, about worshiping you. And Father, I pray you'd help us, Father, to do that. And God, I pray now you just bless everything said and done in Christ, and we pray. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Leading singing and just singing songs in general. As you look through the hymns, we find it very easy. We sing the same songs, you know, pretty often. We get to know the songs, and you know, before long, we can put the hymnals down, and we can sing those songs without even looking at them. We can sing the songs without even thinking about the words. It's just like clockwork. Don't even have to think about it. You know, we started singing songs like "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," "For the Bible Tells Me So," and already in your minds, you're going through the rest of the song. But how often do we honestly sit down and think about the words that we're singing? You know, many people have this verse somewhere in their house. You know, whether it be on the mantle of the fireplace, whether it be over the archway or the entrance, you know, coming into the home. There's always, you often find the words, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, I think at some times, as Christians, we can become so familiar with that verse that we're familiar with the words, we've memorized the words, but we stop living it out. We start to say, "Oh, yeah, I got that verse memorized. It's hanging on my wall. You know, everybody knows that if they come to my house, they can see that I'm a Christian. They see the words, but are we actually living those words out? Have we made a choice to serve the Lord?" Joshua 24:15, the latter part of the verse, it says, "But as for me and my house," the first one I want to see is that it's an individual choice. As for me, it is an individual choice to serve the Lord. You know, when God saved you and God saved me, He did not say, "Sean, you're saved. Now I'm going to automatically program your brain to serve me and serve me alone." We still have that free will. We still have that flesh that we have to battle. We still have those choices that we have to make every day to serve the Lord. We have the choice to serve Him, or we have the choice not to serve Him. And sadly, even in my case, there are days that go by where I don't serve the Lord the way I know I should. Look over in Psalms chapter 101. Psalm chapter 101. Keep your place there in Joshua chapter 24, but flip over to Psalm chapter 101. These are some individual choices here that David has made in his life. Psalm 101, we'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." Notice the tense of the verbs that he's using here. "I will not," or "I will." David is not saying, you know, if the situation presents itself, then I'll serve the Lord. If the situation is favorable, I'm going to go ahead and do what's right, you know, as long as the people that are around me don't look at me funny. David doesn't say, "I'm going to accept somebody at face value. And even when they say something cross or that's offensive or that takes the name of the Lord in vain, I'll just kind of grin and bear it, knowing that they're really a good person deep down inside." No, David is sitting here saying, as an absolute, "I will set no wicked thing before me." Down there in verse number 4, "I will not know a wicked person." Verse number 5, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off." How many times have you ran into somebody that was just bad-mouthing your neighbor, bad-mouthing one of your friends, and you just rid them off. Nope, you're not my friend anymore. I'm not talking to you. Don't come near me until you get it right. How many times have we actually done that? Not saying that I'm perfect, not saying that I've ever, you know, actually cut someone off because they made fun of somebody, but it's just something to think about. As I was reading this psalm, you know, how serious David was about his walk with the Lord, and then comparing it to how serious I am with my walk with the Lord, and then knowing that I'm human just like everybody else, how serious are you with your walk with the Lord? Are you willing to take that kind of a stand to serve the Lord? Verse number 5, continuing on, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. You see, David had what we would call a conviction about serving the Lord. I think sometimes that as people, we tend to set aside a conviction and take more a stand of convenience. We say, well, you know, yeah, it's good that we live this way. It's good that we serve the Lord. But for convenience sake, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do what everyone else, you know, thinks is right and kind of just go with the flow and make it a little easier for me to get around. You know, as pastor's preaching this morning about the broad and the narrow way, and obviously the narrow way leading to salvation, you know, people try to take the easy way to accomplish things in life. As we went on this four-wheeler ride yesterday, we thought we were taking an easier way to get to the top of a Bald Mountain. And after we go up a couple of rough trails, we kind of get to the top, and it looked very easy. Very easy. It was nice and flat. Oh, here we go. There's a nice little gentle incline. Here we go. And then we hit some nasty form of a swamp slash bog slash if you come near me, you're not leaving kind of thing in the ground. And we got caught in there, we got stuck, and the easiest thing to do, what it seemed like, was not so easy. You know, in the Christian life, when you get saved, it may seem like an easy thing to just serve the Lord. Like, oh, I'm saved, it's going to be easy from here on out. I can tell you, and Christians all across the world can tell you, when you get saved, it is not an easy choice to make, or it's not an easy life thereafter. We just heard about the Bordas family. You know, they're trying to serve the Lord, they get in the mission field there in Cordova, and all of a sudden, something hits. The devil does not want you serving the Lord. Why is that? Why do you think it is the devil does not want you serving the Lord or living as a Christian should live? Well, very easy. If you're living the way you should live, and if you're witnessing the way you should witness, and if your testimony is the way that it ought to be, then people around you are going to start wondering what's different. They're going to see a change, and then they're going to want to know, hey, what's going on with you? You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't act like other people around here. You don't show up at 3 o'clock in the morning knocking on someone's doorstep you don't even know. What's going on? What's different about you? We ought to be different. There ought to be an individual choice, number one, for purity. Secondly, we need to make an individual choice for humility. Look at James chapter 4, verse number 7. James chapter 4, and in verse number 7. Rather, James chapter 4, verse 6. We'll get to verse 7. But he giveth more grace. The Bible says there in James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, something that really dawned on me probably about, I don't know, maybe eight, nine years ago, was how do we tackle this problem of dealing with the devil? How do we tackle this problem dealing with temptation, dealing with sin? How do we get over this problem as a Christian? And I sat there and I started thinking, like, well, you know, we could do all these things, you know, as individuals, as people, you know, we can remove sources of temptation from our life. If we know that we have a problem with a certain thing, we can go ahead and remove that from our life and avoid it. That's a way of doing it. But only until I started reading here in James chapter 4, where it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, I didn't think about it before then, to actually submit myself to God and allow God to work through me to conquer that temptation. I didn't think about that until reading through this verse. But you see that in verse number 6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We need to make a choice to be humble. You see, pride is a very, very deceitful or a very deceptive thing. You know, we start to get into this attitude, this mindset that I can conquer anything, I can do anything I want to do. And we kind of live in a day and age where we kind of have this humanistic approach to solving problems. You know, oh, you don't need anybody's help. You don't need anything from the Lord. You don't need anything from the church. You can do it yourself. You know, they write these self-help books and they expect people to go out and spend 25, 30 bucks to figure out how to solve a problem using their own strength. Only to find out they're going to wind up in failure just a few months later, only because they're relying on their own strength rather than allowing God to work through them. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Thirdly, it's a choice. We need to make a choice for surrender. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 31. Excuse me. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. The Apostle Paul obviously is talking to the church at Corinth, and he gives them those last three words. I die daily. You see, when you surrender to the Lord, when you make a choice to surrender to God, and you say, Lord, I'm going to serve you, it is something you must do every day. Every day we wake up in the morning, and we have this old flesh that wants to keep us from serving the Lord. We have to die daily to that desire. You see, I get up in the morning. I kind of like to get up early. As I've gotten a little bit older, you can tell by the white in my beard. Greg was up here talking about how I kind of grew this thing, and now it looks like I kind of fell asleep in a paint tray and got a bunch of white there on the chin. as I've gotten older, I like to sleep in a little bit longer. You know, when I sleep in longer, then, you know, because my normal habit was to get up before anybody else in the house, so it was nice and quiet. I could start my pot of coffee, and I could start my devotions and my prayer time, and would not be interrupted by anything else going on in the house or any kind of noise. Well, now as I'm getting older, it's harder to get this flesh out of bed. For some of you, that may be a problem. Others, you may still be a spring chicken, ready to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning with the roosters. That's not me anymore. You know, 5:30, that's about as early as I can get before my flesh says, you know what, it's too early. But we have to make a choice to die to that sin nature, that flesh that says, you know what, nah, just stay in bed. You know, you need your sleep. You need it. And I'm not taking away from the fact that we do need our sleep. But what I'm saying is there are several instances throughout our day that if we're not careful, we can allow that flesh to kind of pull us aside and say, that's really not a great idea. You shouldn't put yourself in that situation. You might get made fun of. You shouldn't stand out like that. What if that guy badmouths you? You know, these are the things that old flesh will try and come back and go into this self-preservation mode and keep you from serving the Lord. You know, as Pastor was given his example earlier of how long our life is in eternity, that little speck, you know, a little speck in that glimmer of eternity, how much then do you think is, you know, 1 or 2 minutes of getting badmouthed because you're witnessing for the Lord? 1 or 2 minutes in a lifetime, it's nothing. Especially, you know, what makes this easier is when we realize this life is not our own. You see, there's that verse that says, you know, what, know ye not? You know, your bodies are the temple of God. You know, what? You know, there's another verse that says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The other one escapes me right now. But the point is, our bodies do not belong to us anymore. Once we have accepted Christ, our personal Savior, our body becomes a temple of God. And we are not our own. That's that verse right there. What? No, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. You know, with the things that we do, the things that we say, the places we go, the people we meet, the attitude we carry, all those things are a reflection of Jesus Christ if you're saved. We have to remember that and go about our lives knowing that our bodies are not our own. Go back to Joshua chapter 24. A choice for purity, a choice for humility, and a choice for surrender. Back to Joshua 24 and in verse number 15. We saw first that it was an individual choice. Now we'll see that it's a corporate choice. As for me and my house. As for me and my house. This really applies more so to parents than children. But as for me and my house, as for everybody in my house, those who I am responsible for, we will serve the Lord. As fathers, as parents, we have a responsibility to raise up our children to serve the Lord. Teenagers, as you are being raised up, you have an individual responsibility to serve the Lord. As parents, we ought to be setting the example of what our kids should follow. If you didn't notice, your kids are watching you. Every little thing that you do, your kids are going to pick up on. I've noticed that. We've got four kids, and I see the kids make certain body gestures, or they kind of carry themselves in a certain way, or I hear them using the same kind of words that I would use, or saying key phrases that I've always said, and these things kind of dawn on me like, it's pretty neat. It's neat having a parrot, but at the same time, it's also a warning. Because the very things that you're doing as a parent, the very things you're saying as a parent, are going to be carried out in the lives of those that you're responsible for. It is a corporate choice to serve the Lord, as for me and for my house. Lastly, it's a timely choice. The very beginning of the verse, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Choose you this day. It doesn't say choose you at some point in your Christian life. Obviously, Joshua is talking here to the nation of Israel. He doesn't say, choose sometime between now and the next generation when you're going to serve the Lord. No, he says, choose you this day, today. It's an immediate choice. It's a time-sensitive choice. I was thinking of illustrations I could use, and obviously being all my stuff being down in Kentucky, I have no way of printing anything out. And so I started thinking about this a couple hours ago. And the last time I had this problem where I couldn't print anything out was when my printer at my house in Colorado broke. We were on our way to a nursing home, and I was supposed to preach. And I had all my sermon notes were on my laptop, and I had no printer. And so I couldn't very well go to the podium. We had a podium much like this one. And I couldn't go there and set my laptop there and kind of flip the screen and use my Bible. It wouldn't have looked right. So, my wife, being the wonderful lady that she is, she said, "You know what, you're driving." She's like, I'll print all this stuff out. I'll handwrite it out. And so she sat there and handwritten. I don't know, Miss James, you can correct me later. So she wrote out all my notes by hand. And we get to the nursing home. I get up there and I start to preach. And I said, "You know what, if you have a problem with my message, don't blame me, blame my wife. She wrote it." And that wasn't a lie. Because she literally wrote it out. But what I was going to look for, how many times has this happened where somebody had been drowned in a lake and there was no one there to help them, or perhaps that help was there and they watched idly by, or perhaps they were there and they tried to get there but they couldn't make it there in time. These are all ways that we can kind of, I guess, picture how serious it is serving the Lord. You see, there are people out there on life's sea that are troubled, that are sinking. And how often do we sit back and just idly by and allow them to sink without being there to help them? Or how many times have we found ourselves in a situation where we could have helped had we been there 2 or 3 minutes prior? With our Christian walk, it is imperative that we surrender our bodies to serve the Lord and never look back. We can never look back from serving the Lord. If we do, someone's life may hang in the balance because of a choice we have made. It is very important that we make a choice to serve the Lord. Let's bow your heads and close your eyes.